Well, good morning. It is great to see all of you out there this morning. How many of you had a busy weekend this weekend so far? I tell you what, if you either helped out, donated candy, an item for giveaway baskets, if you prayed, if you tithed, anything you contributed to the carnival, raise your hand. You guys are what made yesterday successful. Yesterday, we had beautiful weather for the carnival yesterday. Amen. We had a great turnout. I think Pastor's is going to briefly touch on it later on in the service. But yesterday was made part by you guys. Right. So you guys did an awesome job. The weather was perfect. As far as I could tell, everyone was having a great time. Great time. So we want to thank you for that. We want to say good morning and welcome to you. We do have some visitors, I believe, out there. We want to say welcome. Good morning to you guys. Make yourselves at home. You guys are our family this morning. In your bulletin, if you grabbed one this morning on your way in, if you're a visitor, there's going to be a white slip of paper. That is a guest registration form. If you could fill that out, slip that into the offering plate when it's passed or out on the Welcome Center. We do have a guest registration book. If you can stop by, sign your name, fill out a little bit about yourself. That way we can get to know you a little bit better this morning. If you would, go ahead and turn with me to your bulletins. I do want to touch on a couple different announcements that are in there. The first one being next weekend. I'm going to go ahead and skip ahead in the week. Next weekend on Saturday is our all-church fish fry. I believe this is, what, the third annual? So we've been doing this for at least 3 years now, and it's always a great time. It's a good time. But out on the credenza behind the Welcome Center, there is a sign-up sheet for side dishes, for desserts, and for drinks. The fish is provided. You guys don't need to worry about that. But if you could, out on the credenza behind the Welcome Center in the foyer, there is sign-up sheets for side dishes, desserts, and drinks. And if any of you are a little uncertain on how to get to Pat and Carolyn's house, ask them. Are there directions? Great. There are directions out there as well. So that is this coming Saturday at 5 p.m. If you get there late, there will probably still be fish left over. We always have plenty of fish. So that is this Saturday. Also on Saturday, there is a Giggles. That is our Ladies Fellowship Council meeting at 8 a.m. Unfortunately, this Tuesday night, there will not be a men's softball game. I know, it's sad. We had our last game last night at 8 o'clock. We did win our last game. We ended up taking third place in our division, which, thank you, it is the best that we've done in several years past. So we do want to thank those of you that came out and supported the team this year. It was a good time had by all, I believe. This Wednesday is our regular adult Bible study, and our kids and our teens will meet. Choir will start back up the first Wednesday in September. So if you are a part of the choir, want to be a part of the choir, have maybe thought about it, go ahead and come the first Wednesday in September. And then the last announcement that I'm going to touch on, the choir will be starting practice for the Christmas cantata. So if you want to be a part of the Christmas cantata, first Wednesday in September. And then next Sunday, our dog's luncheon is going to be at Incredible Pizza.
It's incredible. It's incredible, man. I'm telling you. It's going to be incredible. I was at a meeting the other day, and this guy from Incredible Pizza, he said, here's what we're doing. He said, we're from now till the end of November, they've been doing this. We're going to have any church that wants to come to Incredible Pizza for free.
Sign me up.
For free. So here's the deal. It's just a program that they're doing. It's a Christian-owned company. And they indeed are doing this. And so, as I was telling the Bible study, I was so excited. I was telling the Bible study about this on Wednesday night. And then one of my ladies said to me, "Wow, wouldn't it be cool if we didn't have to cook twice for Saturday night and for Sunday afternoon?" Because that's the same weekend, see? Mm-hmm. And we have a dog's dinner on the 25th. And they said, "Wouldn't it be nice if we didn't have to fix two things?" And I said, "Well, yeah, it would, but that's kind of short notice." And they said, "Well, would you call anyway?" And I said, "Yes, I'll call anyway." And so I called Zach. That's the guy at Incredible Pizza. And he said, "We can do that. So you have to be in church on the morning of the 25th because you have to have a wristband before you ever enter the building in order to qualify. We will all have a reserved room, and the buffet and the drinks are free. It costs you absolutely nothing unless you choose to hang around and be in their game room. And if you buy a game card, their regular cost, but for every game card that's purchased, 15% is kicked back to the church for any ministry they choose." So they're feeding you for free. And then if you play games, they kick back 15% to the church. And so you don't have to cook for the dog's dinner. Yes, awesome. You cook for awesome. The fish fry, but you get to eat pizza the next day for free.
Okay.
What's a dog?
Awesome.
Hey, they want to know what
for,
a dog is.
For some of you that don't know what a dog is, that is our Dinner on the Ground Society. That is our group that is geared mainly towards our guests and our new members. So next Sunday, 12:30 to, what does it say here?
Yeah, we have to be there between 12:30
and 1:30. Incredible Pizza, free lunch if you want to play games. That will cost. But any 15% of the proceeds will come back to our church. So that will be a great time. And then the last one that I have is August the 29th at 7 p.m. The ladies will be having a craft night. It'll be $4. And you're going to be making some homemade laundry soap. So there will be a sign-up sheet out on the credenza or the Welcome Center, one of the two. Just look for this white piece of paper. And that way Paula kind of has a head count and knows how much supplies to gather up for that. So, yes. If you had a staff shirt that you wore yesterday during the carnival, wash and return them anytime to the office. That way we can have them again for next year to reuse, and that way we won't have to purchase new shirts for that. That's all I've got. Hopefully you paid attention. I know I always ask my wife if she listened to me, and she says, "I listen to you as much as you listen to me." So so that's how it goes. So if y'all would, we're going to stand and greet one another this morning.
To his house and cast
Good morning to everybody. I hope the rest of you are feeling refreshed after yesterday. I feel much better than I did when I got home last night. Not all of it due to the carnival, some of it due to my choices, and that's what I have to live with. First of all, get out your pencils and papers so you can remember this. I heard that last week you were asked to help bring in some things for the group that's going to go to the Sun Valley Mission in Arizona. They're going to leave September 14th, and what we would like for you to help them bring in some Q-tips, some 3x5 index cards, and flashcards. And Carolyn has a box out in the foyer for that where you can put those items in there. Now, Carolyn, on these flashcards, is this any kind of flashcard? Okay, any kind of flashcard. Numbers, alphabets, whatever, matching. So that would be great if you will help them out with that. We've got a group going in September for that. I've got a couple of prayer requests that I'd like for us to remember that they've asked us to pray about. The typhoon that happened in the Philippines has affected five of our churches, our Nazarene churches, and 120 Nazarene families. One church is totally isolated, and there's been no news or communication from them, and power lines and communication lines are down there, so they are wanting us to remember them. Another one of the districts there is getting ready to send out a bunch of help to these places, and one of the things is like a 16 hours driving distance, so it's a, you know, it's not easy to get to. It's a long distance, and they need a lot of help. So prayer would be greatly appreciated during this time. The other one is the unrest in Thailand, and they've asked us that to pray for the Christians, would help find ways of Christian reconciliation during all this unrest, their political unrest, and the things that they're dealing with. And another one I'd like for us to remember that they've also requested earlier in the week is the unrest in Egypt. There's a lot of difficulty going on there, if you've watched the news any at all. So remember the Philippines, Thailand, and Egypt this week.
Pastor Don has left the building, and he has taken Ruth to the hospital. She's been having some issues lately you are aware of, and some of you might not have been aware of. But at any rate, they're going to try to go and find out. She's having some pain and difficulty this morning, so they're going to try to find out, indeed, what's going on there. So remember them in your prayers, and we'll mention some other prayer things a little later. But, indeed, he has had to go and take her to the hospital. But we want to ask our ushers to come. We still want to receive that which God has asked for and that we do in order to honor him. And my dad taught me a long time ago never to ask people to do stuff you wouldn't do yourself. And so we've been trying to make you aware of some situations the last little bit. And most of you have heard by now that we had an air conditioning unit go out that we had not really specifically budgeted for happening. And so it's about $3,200 to replace that unit. And so we ask you if indeed God would allow you or bless you in such a way to be able to, and you could give above and beyond your tithes in order for that project to be aided. That would be greatly appreciated. We always appreciate your responses to our random acts of kindness and our Attic Fund, which is All Things in Common, which indeed is benevolent ministries that help people inside and outside the church that are in need. And so a lot of these things are kind of above and beyond your tithe. And so as I was praying about that, of course, yesterday was a carnival, and we like to do things to help that out, but I never ask you to do things I won't do myself. And so, Brother Pat, as people count this morning, you will find an extra notation on my envelope, so don't miss it. Indeed, there are some extra funds there above our regular giving to help with the air conditioning and carnival expense. And so just as God has asked you to do, just give obediently. And I know that God always knows the math and can meet the needs. So thank you so much for your obedient response and your generous giving spirit. We appreciate that so very, very much. So, Brother Pat, if you would come and receive my giving this morning and ask God's blessing.
Father, we're very thankful to be in your house this morning. We're mindful of how you have blessed us, Lord, and we pray this morning that as we give a portion of your blessing back to you, that it might go to the further that kingdom this morning. And as Pastor Gary prayed, Lord, let us be mindful of the needs of the church as we prayerfully consider what you would have us do. I ask you, Lord, this morning to bless each gift and giver. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
From the lips of all people,
from the lips of all people.
hearts of the weak.
From the hearts of the weak.
From the shouts of the strong.
From the shouts of the strong.
From the lips of all people.
From the lips of all people.
This song we raise.
Thank you.
see. There are heights of joy that I may not reach till I rest in peace with thee. Draw me nearer, blessed Lord, to the cross where thou hast died. Draw me nearer, 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 blessed Lord.
Amen. As we prepare our hearts for prayer this morning, there are several things that we want to be mindful of, but I want to just begin by saying how absolutely, wonderfully proud I am when we do an event like we did yesterday. In 24 hours' time, we erected fences, erected tents, put on the deal, and an hour after it's over, everything looks like it never happened. And what a great group effort. And how much I appreciate. You know, we had people that get so excited about this event that we had people that had to work yesterday that came here before they went to work just so they could work here just to get in on the event. That's what servanthood is about. It's not what you get out. It's what you give. And everything that we do as part of Faith, Family, and Fun Day is not about what we get to participate in. It's about us giving to our community. That's what the whole day is about. And if we get some fun and some things on the side, that's an icing on the cake kind of thing. Yesterday was all about letting this community know there's a God in heaven who loves them, sent his son to the cross to die for them, paid all the price for them to have everything for free. And what a blessing. What a great day it was. And you don't always get to hear all the things, but people come by the tent where I'm at and they say, hey, thank you for putting this event on. Thanks for allowing us to have this day. Thanks for this. Thanks for that. And folks, it's for them. It's so they know God cares, that he cares and that he loves them. We've experienced that love. We're the benefactors of that love. If there are people out there not enjoying that, we want them to get in on it. And however we can spread that message to them. And so thank you, thank you, thank you from the bottom of my heart for everything that you did in any way to support that event and to carry that off. It's become one of our signature events for our church. It helps visibility in our community. And it happens because you put the time and effort in to make it happen. So thank you from the bottom of my heart for all that you do. We have a lot of folks that are away from us today, several different reasons. We've got some sickness. We've got people traveling, last-minute vacations, all that kind of thing going on. Oh, yeah, and by the way, some people have babies, too. And so Berkeley Allen is here. She arrived on Monday, and Matt and Jenna, before long, will be back with us. And so you pray for them and Avery as they're celebrating the birth of Berkeley. And we're glad that all of that now is here and taken care of and done. And so just remember them in your prayers this morning. Again, pray for Pastor Don and Ruth as they've gone to the hospital to have her situation checked out. We indeed want to remember Julie Brooks this morning. Helen Atnip is here, but has been battling some very serious back problems the last 3 or 4 weeks, and we want to be remembering her. Gina Mallion has been sick for about a month now. Paula's brother, got a visit with them a little bit yesterday, but her brother and his family are staying for a period of time with Steve and Paula. He's looking for employment. Life kind of took a turn for them, and so you pray for them in that situation. Sue Arnold had been back to the church for the last 2 or 3 weeks, but she's caught whatever the stomach bug is that's going around. But Max is here this morning again, and so appreciate that. Max had a pretty good day yesterday, came and stayed with us for the car show and ended up walking away with one of the prizes. So that's not too bad. So appreciate that. Always glad when those folks have been battling cancer are able to be back in service with us and to be a part of what's going on there. And I've got some really good news. In case you, and I need to tell you this. Don and Juanita Brandstein probably will not be in service with us very often anymore. They moved yesterday. Bruce and the family, move them to a place called Culpeper Place. We'll get that information for you. Hopefully next week we'll have the address, because we want to continue to maintain contact with them and let them know that we're praying for them, we care about them. They've moved to Culpeper Place. It's 3540 East Cherokee Street in Springfield, and we'll get the apartment number and all that kind of stuff to you. But they have church at that facility, and so they'll be going to that church service. But I know that's a change. It's a change for Bruce and all their extended family. And so you pray for the Brandsteins, you know, as they're going through that time of change in their life. And then I just want to tell you, for those of you who were here yesterday, you've heard this news now. But for those of you who were not here yesterday, for several years now, God has had me connected with a fellow who does a lot of prison ministry named Jose Matos. And you know him for the last 2 years that he's been waiting on a kidney transplant. And he called me Friday, and he said, "Oh yeah, I'm in town." And I said, "So what are you doing on Saturday?" And he said, "Waiting for Sunday." And so I said, "Well, come wait with us." And he came, was here yesterday. He received a transplant in May, and he's doing great. And so he has his kidney transplant. He was here. He sang a song yesterday at the Faith Family and Fun Day. He's ministering out today. But we praise the Lord. That's something we've been praying. It's been on our list for like 2 years. And God has provided, and he is doing well. And so we give God the glory and the praise, and pray for him as he's here in Missouri ministering this week. And so just thanks again. There's so many things that are in the bulletin. We don't have time to mention everything, but they're there in print, and be aware of them. But I wanted you to know about some of those highlights, some of the good things that are happening. You may have unspoken requests this morning. There may be other things on your heart and mind. Stand with me if you would. At this point in time, we're going to sing together. These altars are open to you. If you have a need of any kind, whether it's to lay a burden down, or maybe God's just been especially good and you just like a special place to give him glory, honor, and praise, feel free to come and make use of these altars. Now, you know, I see these programs on TV every once in a while where somebody finds a long-lost brother or sister, you know, and they film the reuniting in the airport and all that kind of stuff. And I haven't lost anybody that I'm aware of, but I did get a new brother this morning. Never met him before, but Brother Gordon is with us, and Brother Gordon is a pastor in Washington and at the Nazarene Church there. And Brother Gordon, I have no idea why I feel this way. I don't always do things this way, but if you would allow me, I'd like to invite you to come to the altar this morning, and I just feel impressed of God to pray for you and your ministry. And so I'd like to do that for you if you'd allow me to do so. And I'm glad that I have a new brother in the state of Washington. And that's the wonderful thing about the family of God. They're everywhere. And it's always nice when God allows you to meet some of them. And so these altars are open to you. As we sing this morning, you feel free to come make use of these altars this morning. But we appreciate our brothers and sisters in the ministry, and we thank you for our sister churches. And we just want to pray that as he returns to his home, God will take him there safely, that God will bless his wife as she's ministering to that congregation this morning. And indeed, she's about to be ordained. Is that right, Brother Gordon? It's a fantastic thing. And so we just want to celebrate and pray God's blessing on their ministry this morning. But if you have need, you come as we sing.
He is able. What concerns me today?
Let's pray together this morning. Father, we are indeed grateful for the privilege of being in your house, time and a place for us to gather, to worship, to hear your voice, to commit to obedience, for new light and inspiration to come to us, for encouragement. Lord, a place to cast our cares on you because you told us in the Word to be assured that you care for us. So, Father, we thank you for the privilege of being here today. We thank you for a day set aside to focus and worship on you. And, Father, we have mentioned and will not mention them all again individually, but you know the list in the bulletin and you've heard us verbalize this morning about these many needs. There are people there who need a physical touch from you, and we pray your blessing upon them and that you as the great physician and the healer would go to them and touch them this morning. There are those who need employment or provision in their lives, some of our own church people and now Paula's brother that's added to that list. And so, Lord, we just pray that you'd work that out according to your plan. And Lord, then we know that there are always times in our life where you're moving in our lives and we need to make spiritual changes and we need to be honest with ourselves and with you and Lord, that you want to touch us and help us to be all that you designed for us to be. And so we thank you for that and we pray that we'd respond to those needs this morning. And then Father, I never know why you impress these things upon me, but I try to be obedient, Father, and I thank you for my brother Gordon who chose to visit with us this morning. Lord, he could go many places, but we believe you brought him here. Lord, we just want to thank you for introducing us to part of the family. And Lord, we pray that you bless he and his wife. We're excited about the news that he shared with us about his wife's moving forward in ministry and being close to ordination. And Lord, we just pray that you'd bless him. What an exciting time in life to reach those pinnacles and milestones and all the work and effort and time, sacrifice that goes into it. Sometimes it's a tough road and the enemy tries to get us to quit in the process. And Lord, we just pray you bless them. And bless them there in Washington, Father, that you would give them souls for their harvest and that you would smooth out the rough spots. And Father, that you would take the challenges and turn them into mountaintops of victory and lead them out of the valleys, but use the valleys when they're there to grow and to strengthen them. Lord, we pray that you'd pour out your Holy Spirit upon Brother Gordon this morning. Touch him and bless him. And Father, we pray that this will have been a time of refreshment for him and that the journey on the road is a time when he can commune with you and that you'll tell him things you want him to know and that you'll speak into his life about his present and his future. And Lord, that you indeed will just continue to reveal yourself to him. We thank you for him today. Thank you for his spirit. And Lord, we thank you now for our new friend. And we pray, Lord, that you'll just bless his ministry there in Washington. Bless Nixa Church of the Nazarene. Thank you for the day yesterday and for all the work of our people. Lord, all we want to do is lift you up and put you before our community and tell them that there's a God out there who can help them through those struggles. That Lord, it's a whole lot better to hang on to God's hand and walk with him than to try to face all that stuff themselves. And so, Lord, we just pray that you'd help us to continue to make you a light in our community, that we would lift you up, that you might draw men into yourself. Thank you, Father, for the privilege of worshiping today. And thank you for the presence of your Holy Spirit here with us. We give you honor and glory and praise because you are worthy. You are worthy. In the precious and powerful name of Jesus, we ask it this morning. Amen. Amen. Amen.
This song that I'm about to sing, it goes right along with Janice Offertory and the other songs that we've sung this morning. I had no idea I was going to sing what the songs were going to be this morning as far as what was going on. And there's one place in here, sometimes your world can get turned upside down. We need a little special touch from God. And I practice singing in my truck to and from work. And we've had several times here lately, we've had some pretty good rains, some pretty good storms. And there's some words in here. If you can just see fit to show me some who you are. And about that time, some lightning would go across the sky. You know, there was three or four days in a row where that happened. And I said, wow. You know, may have a hard time getting through this song. But I know God can touch us and give us that little special help when we need it. Thank you.
done in your name. I know the tricks behind the magic show. I've almost thrown the towel in a time or two and walked away from everything I know. But I can't feel this emptiness inside of me, or calm the troubled waters of my mind. So if you're really out there and you're listening, then prove to me that those who seek will find. If you can just see fit to show me some of who you are, if you can shed some light into this broken sinner's heart, I need to know the truth, and I need something I can feel. Why you brought me here through valleys where the shadows hover close. Down here there's a mask to cover every face, but your sweet face I long to see the most. Think there's just the slightest hope for me, in spite of all my questions and my doubts, then let me hear your still small voice speak out my name, and let me know what others talk about. Can just see fit to show me some of who you are. If you can shed some light into this broken sinner's heart, I need to know the truth, and I need something I can.
Don't know that I'd ever heard that before, Brother Bruce, so that was a great song. I appreciate the message of that song. And isn't that what we all want, is a faith that works? It's not enough, well, as a matter of fact, it's not really much of anything to be religious. There's a lot of religiosity out there. What we need is a personal relationship with Jesus Christ that gets us through the dark spots and the tough spots and brings light into our life and indeed that makes it real. And isn't it great when a lightning bolt crosses the sky that somebody thinks God's making himself known? I like it. God does a lot of things trying to get messages to a lot of people, but some people miss them. And so thank the Lord for all the little things in life that he reveals himself in so many different ways. And I want to be very cautious. I have no desire to ever embarrass anybody. But I also learned a long time ago, and you've been with me long enough, some of you, to know that I'm not much of one for throwing flowers on people's graves after they're gone. Because I think it's a whole lot more enjoyable when you give them to them so they can smell them while they're living. And we have a visitor with us this morning, Mrs. Potter. I want you to understand that I want to tell you something. Her son, Steve, spent a lot of time with my son. When he was like in fifth and sixth grade, coaching basketball and baseball. And I can't think of anything that any parent likes to hear more than to know that their child took their values, shared them with somebody else, and made a difference in their life. And so I just want to say thank you to you for living a life before your children, for them to live a life before my children, and to make a difference in their lives. We're so glad to have you with us this morning. Thank you so much. And for all of you who have been grandmas to my kids and things, I feel the same way about all of you. And indeed, we are grateful for the great church family that God has given to us and for the people that God has brought across our lives. Thank you for the time off last Sunday. We did get to spend some time over the weekend with Jennifer's brother, who was in from France. First time we've spent time with them in 6 years. And so thank you for the time that you allow us to have for vacation and things in our year. And we appreciate the way you care for your pastoral family and are supportive of us. And so thank you so much. I want to talk to you this morning about something that God laid on my heart. The last couple of weeks, I had the opportunity to go on a Thursday and a Friday for about the third year in a row now to the Willow Creek Global Leadership Summit, and heard some great people speak. I heard Colin Powell speak live, and it was a simulcast, but indeed he was speaking live in Chicago at the time that we heard it, and just many corporate leaders, and I heard a very funny comedian, and some of you who, if you watch, I think it's America's Got Talent. If you watch that, you may have seen last year a guy who makes instruments, and he built what was called the Earth Harp, and he literally in the auditorium where they were having America's Got Talent, he had strings that ran all the way across the auditorium, and he played. He put rosin on gloves, and he could play that thing, and he invented it. Well, he's a Christian, and he played that thing. They had it in Willow Creek Community Church in Chicago. He had that thing strung out. And he played. It's very beautiful, but just a very inspirational time. And some of the aftermath of that, God began to challenge me, because anytime you go to a meeting like that, it's supposed to be motivational and inspirational. And the thing about motivation and inspiration, it's supposed to move you to change. It's supposed to keep you from just holding in the status quo. It's supposed to do something that challenges you within yourself to say, I can do different, I can do better, I can do more. And obviously that's all under the leadership of and with the help of God. And so out of that, doing some devotional reading later and thinking back and trying to go over some of those notes and various things, God brought a couple of scriptures to me that I don't know that I've ever equated with each other. Don't know that I've ever used in this manner, but I have preached from parts of either one of those passages. I think, Ted, we just lost the middle bank of lights. There we go. Okay, thank you, sir. Appreciate that. And And so I want to share them with you this morning, and I want to talk to you about preparing to move. Now, this will be really relevant to Bruce. He spent all day yesterday moving his folks, and so you know, moving is not much fun. How many of you don't like to move? We accumulate stuff, you know. And then we have to have garage sales before we move and garage sales after we move. And then we're still trying to figure out which boxes to open and which boxes to never even touch again and what to do with them. Moving is tough. Change is difficult. We tend to be creatures of habit. And so we tend to like the security of routine. And sometimes we can fall into those routines and not even realize that we're just kind of out there. And so I want to share with you this morning a verse of scripture from Hosea chapter 10 and verse 12. Hosea chapter 10, excuse me, in verse 12. Sow for yourselves righteousness, reap the fruit of unfailing love, and break up your unplowed ground, for it is time to seek the Lord until He comes and showers righteousness on you. Now, if I could take one small key phrase out of there this morning, it would be this: break up your unplowed ground. The King James Version says break up the fallow ground. How many of you have done any farming at all? Okay. Fallow ground is indeed exactly that, unplowed ground. Now, do you understand what that means? How many of you ever made a garden? Okay, how many of you have found that it helps, if you're going to have a garden, to kind of work the dirt a little bit before you just go throw a bunch of seeds out there and hope for the best? That's kind of the thought that we're going to look at a little bit this morning. I couldn't help but as I was praying and preparing and reading this passage of Scripture, I couldn't help but have my mind go back to my pastorate in Split Log, Missouri. And a man by the name of William Master. William and Emily Master. They were retired. They were both ordained elders in the Church of the Nazarene. They were in the church when I got there, and I was 22 years old. And as I got introduced to the people, I found out Brother William Master was about 6'2". He was very tall and slender and had white, beautiful hair. Very stately gentleman. And he would get up and testify, and he would almost always, at least someplace in his testimony, had one thing that he kind of almost always said. He might testify about many things, but he kind of would get to this point and he would say, and he would do just like this. He would stand and he'd say, "I want to move onward and upward with Jesus." Man, that was inspirational to me. I thought, that's a good testimony. Here's a guy, 50 plus years in the ministry, gray-headed, can barely stand up. And when he gets up, he gets a spring in his step and he wants to move onward and upward with Jesus. Just like there's a lot more to get. And I thought, that's inspirational. If every one of us could realize that if we are not perfect and we are not God, there's always more to get, it would keep us from getting kind of stuck. It would keep us from getting just kind of hanging out, you know? Because somehow we kind of have a tendency to do that. We kind of find places where we kind of plateau. We kind of get comfortable and we really don't want God to bump us too much. We want to sense God. We want to know God's presence. And we like to see a move of God. We're just not sure that we want God moving us in the process. And as I read this verse of Scripture, "Sow for yourselves righteousness, reap the fruit of unfailing love, and break up your unplowed ground, for it is time to seek the Lord until He comes and showers righteousness on you." I thought about, now we were not big farmers in the sense of crop farming. I grew up on a farm. We had an acreage, but we ran beef cattle. We didn't do a lot of land cultivating because we basically sowed alfalfa and ran hay. And most of the years that I was there, we didn't replow the fields. We worked with the existing. We fertilized them and that kind of thing. But we worked with the existing fields. But we did plant a garden once in a while. And my dad would break out the 80-in Ford, and he would hook up a two chair plow, and he would hook it up to the back of the 8-in Ford, and then he would drive across that garden plot, and it would turn dirt that had been setting for months. I mean, since the end of the last garden season. And it would have stubble from corn stalks in it, and it would have some weeds in it, and it would be gray on top, and it'd have some maybe some green weeds growing in it, and it would be firm, and it would be hard. And he would take that two-share plow, and he would pull through there with that little 8-in Ford tractor, and it would turn it over in big clods. He would just roll it over. It would dig down a foot, foot and a half deep, but he'd just roll it over. Well, you didn't put seed in it then. It wasn't ready. And then he would get what he had, what we call a cultivator. And he would scratch those claws that he had broken. He now had it off of the hard, crusty surface. You couldn't even break through. I mean, if you'd have thrown seeds on that, they would have bounced like a ball. Now, you could have taken it after you plowed it. You could have taken it and thrown some seeds in there, and some of them would have fallen into crevices and stuff. And if you'd have left it like that, you probably would have got some crop production. You probably got some stuff, but you got a lot of weeds too. And it'd been really hard to work with because the ground would have been all uneven, and it just would have been bad. You would have had a few straggler-type plants. It would have been hard to water and walk through and all that kind of stuff. Probably would have turned your ankle, and then you would have been laid up for 6 weeks, and you couldn't tend the garden, and it wouldn't have made anything. So he would get the cultivator. And the cultivator had a whole bunch of little prongs on it. And you would take it along that those broken clods, and then it would break the clods down into dirt. And you would work it back and forth enough times that pretty soon you had a nice, smooth plot. You'd throw the rocks out as they came up. And by now, you've kind of skimmed the weed cover off of it. And now you've got fresh dirt, and you work that back and forth until you had a level bed of dirt that was fine enough that you could work it however you wanted to. And you could make rows and plant seeds and cover them. We'd have a row of potatoes and a row of corn, a row of lettuce and a row of tomato plants. And it looked very sharp and it was nice and we would keep the weeds out of it and stuff. And through the course of the summer, it would produce a really nice crop and you could come in at night and have tomatoes on your hamburger. You know, or you would get to have green beans that were fresh with good bacon dropped in them and onion. And you would be eating the produce from your own garden. It was great. And it was wonderful and it was beneficial and it was healthy and it was nutritious. But it would have never produced in that way had all of that process not been gone through, had that ground not been broken up. It says in this passage of Scripture to break up the unplowed ground because it's time to seek the Lord. Which sort of indicates to me that we will never seek the Lord in the way or the measure that we should if we're old and hard and crusty. If we haven't turned fresh ground, if we haven't broken up the clods, if we're kind of just stuck in the routine. Now is the time. What are the conditions of your soil in order for God to come and plant His righteousness therein and get this great crop to reach its highest potential and its greatest production? There's a story in the Bible that kind of fits this particular situation. And I never really thought about it before, but God began to meld these two thoughts in my mind this week. And so I want to turn your attention to Joshua chapter 3. As we think about putting ourselves in a position to be able to move, as we think about producing breaking up the fallow ground and getting ourselves in a condition so that God can move within us and speak to us and work through us and all those kinds of things, I turn your attention to Joshua chapter 3. Early in the morning, Joshua and all of the Israelites set out from Shittim and went to the Jordan where they camped before crossing over. After 3 days, the officers went throughout the camp giving orders to the people. When you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God and the priests who are Levites carrying it, you are to move out from your positions and follow it. Then you will know which way to go, since you have never been this way before. But keep a distance of about 1,000 yards between you and the ark. Do not go near it. And Joshua told the people, consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do amazing things among you. And Joshua said to the priests, take up the ark of the covenant and pass on ahead of the people. So they took it up and went ahead of them. And the Lord said to Joshua, today I will begin to exalt you in the eyes of all Israel, so they may know that I am with you as I was with Moses. Tell the priests who carry the Ark of the Covenant, when you reach the edge of the Jordan's waters, go stand in the river. Now Joshua said to the Israelites, come here and listen to the words of the Lord your God. This is how you will know that the living God is among you, and that he will certainly drive out before you the Canaanites, Hittites, Hivites, Perizzites, Girgashites, Amorites, and Jebusites. See, the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord of all the earth will go into the Jordan ahead of you. Now then, choose 12 men from the tribes of Israel, one from each tribe. And as soon as the priests who carry the Ark of the Lord of all the earth, set foot in the Jordan, its waters flowing downstream will be cut off and stand up in a heap. So when the people broke camp across the Jordan, the priests carrying the Ark of the Covenant went ahead of them. Now the Jordan is that flood stage all during the harvest. Yet, as soon as the priests who carried the ark reached the Jordan and their feet touched the water's edge, the water from upstream stopped flowing. It piled up in a heap a great distance away at a town called Adam in the vicinity of Zarethan, while the water flowing down to the Sea of Arabah, the Salt Sea, was completely cut off. So the people crossed over opposite Jericho. The priests who carried the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord stood firm on dry ground in the middle of the Jordan while all Israel passed by until the whole nation had completed the crossing on dry ground. This is such a great story for so many reasons, and there are so many sermons in here. I'm going to try to stick to just one. And I noticed very quickly, you are a people of like mind. You know how I know that? Because when we talked about reserving the room from 12:30 to 1:30 at Incredible Pizza next week, all of you were giving me the same sign language, which made me to know that you were united in purpose that I should get done sooner. So we have unity in the church. It's great. But I want us to think just about a few things in this story that I think relate to the idea of breaking up the ground and having ourselves in a position to receive from God. In verse 3 of Joshua 3, it talks about moving out from our location. Here's the deal. We get used to things and we like what we're used to. We like the familiar. We don't like the unknown. Change is hard. But God says, if you're going to experience me every once in a while, I'm going to tell you to move. Get up, go, do something different. Maybe do the same thing in a different location. It could be different in different kinds of ways so that there may be familiarity with it, but it may be doing it where it'll help somebody else. What we need to do is just not get so stuck in our position that we get hard and crusty and we're unplowed ground and God can't plant any seed in us and do anything with us. We have to be ready at a moment's notice to be able to move so that we're fresh and fertile. And that's how it is when you turn that unplowed ground and then you cultivate it and you plant in it and you harvest it. It's because of all the work that's gone into soil preparation. And we need to be ready at a moment's notice. We need to have our soil prepared. We need to be cultivated and broken up and fertilized and all those kinds of things so that when God speaks to us, we don't start going, and we say, yes, Lord. Like when he told Abram to move to a new land. You know, that was kind of tough. Leave all your people and all your familiarity and pick up and go somewhere. That's hard. But we need to have ourselves in a position so that when God moves, we can move too. When the Ark of the Covenant comes and the Levites come by, get up and follow them. The Ark of the Covenant was what? The presence of God. That's what it represented. Move with the presence of God. Do what God... You know, our problem is, and I read a book, and I can't remember the title of it right off the top of my head right now, but I was reading in it, and what it said was, we've got to get to the place where instead of asking God to bless what we're doing, we become aware of what God is blessing, and we get in it. Move with God. See what God's doing, and ride the wave that He's sending out there. But that happens. Listen to verse 5. He talks to them about consecrating themselves. We are never going to be as fertile and as pliable as we should be unless we're consecrated. Word means dedicated. Doesn't mean halfway. It means all in. I was watching last night late. I clicked on something to click onto a YouTube video that somebody had posted about, and it was worship songs done wrong. And I click on it, and this guy's got a guitar, and he's going, I surrender some. And that's kind of how we are. That's not the right words, is it? What are the right words? I surrender all. With God, it's all or nothing. God doesn't want half stuff. God doesn't want partial stuff. And I'm not saying that God is not gracious, patient, and forgiving. But what I'm saying is when God states His case, He says, trust me. Give me everything. Nowhere in the Bible does God actually ask you just to give up some of your stuff. Or some of yourself. It's not how He rolls. And then in verse 15, there was action that was required. It says, as soon as the priest's feet touched the water's edge. Now, you know, I've been around pools and lakes and rivers and stuff, and there's a lot of people who go to the edge of, you know, some people just dive in. It's funny to watch young kids at a pool. You say, okay, it's time to swim. They're all in. And then there's the sophisticated, wise, adult approach to going into water. We turn our backs. We just barely touch it. We don't really want to be there. We think it could be good, but we're not sure what the results are. But kids, it's just like, look, dude, let's get wet. And they dive in, and they come out going, and then they go right back in again. And guess who's having the best time and getting the most out of the water? And the scripture says that these priests walked up to the edge, and this wasn't just your typical calm little stream. This is the Jordan River at flood stage. And they stepped into the water's edge, boom, and it split. Does anybody recall another story like that? I believe it was a place called the Red Sea. And now you have a generation of people later who weren't there. They've heard about it. They've been told about it. There were a few stragglers left that were there, but there's some really new people here who haven't had that experience. And God gives them an experience like that because they got up and moved, because they obeyed, because they were consecrated. What would have happened if, I mean, what about the people who maybe didn't follow? What about the people that said, you guys go ahead, I'm just hanging out at the campsite today. Did they have that experience? Did they miss out? If you want to experience all that God has for you, you got to break up some of the crust. You got to get a little more daring than just hanging out where you know and like all the time. And you got to listen to God and be ready to move when He moves. I'm telling you, I'm guilty of it. I like security. I like the familiar. I like the known. And there's nothing wrong with continuity, you know, because as we've done Faith, Family, and Fun Day for 7 years, there's some things that we do better than we used to do and some things we've made improvements to and stuff because we learn from it and we kind of got a system going. But you don't ever want to get the system to the point nothing new can happen. See, because I'm reminded of a passage of Scripture in Isaiah where God said, see, I'm doing a new thing. Some of us won't let God do a new thing. Some of us say, if you're going to do a new thing, do it somewhere else. We don't need a new thing here. We've never done it that way before. We're not going to start now. God, in our lives personally, in our church corporately, I just know that God wants to do some exciting things. He wants to do provision. He wants to move us to where we need to be. And so what I'm saying to you this morning is, God's saying it's time to seek Him so that He can pour out His righteousness in us in an amazing way. In order for that to happen, we have to be able to move. And in order to be able to move and really be pliable and everything, we got to break up the unplowed ground. Sometimes we got to take what's really, really familiar and say, Lord, here it is. Will you plow on this a little bit? Make it pliable. Cultivate it. Make it productive. Fill me with the seed of your presence and your plans and your potential. I don't know what God has for you. But I know if you don't have it in your mind that you're willing to make changes or move, you're probably going to miss God's very best. And I don't know about you, but I really need God to work on me in some of those areas because I want what God has. I want the best. I want to be all that God wants me to be. Wherever that is, however that is, whenever that is, you know, individually, corporately, whatever it is. And I don't really have any particular thing that I'm pursuing here this morning other than just God. So you just need to understand that. I'm just saying, sometimes we just get stuck. Individually, as a church. So let's break up the unplowed ground. Let's let God do a work in us and till that dirt till it's that nice brown and black dirt, you know, no rocks, no weeds. And you can just rake it, do whatever you want to with it, plant seeds in it, and that just, boom, they just pop up almost immediately. Let's be that kind of soil for God to work in and to move in. So He can produce what He wants to produce the way He wants to produce it. Janet, I didn't get a chance to communicate this to you, but on page, I think it's 147 in the hymnal, I think there's a song. It's not really the speed or type of a invitation song, but it's called I Am Resolved. And it really talks about moving. I am resolved no longer to linger. It kind of talks about not hanging out in the same spot all the time. What's that? 487. Okay. I knew it had a 7 in there somewhere, the number of perfection. All the other numbers were just different. I would just like for us as a closing note to sing this song. I am resolved no longer to linger. It talks about pursuing God. It says, let's not just hang out at one spot, but let's follow God wherever He's going, whatever He's doing. And I'd just like for us to sing in closing today as a song of commitment. And indeed, if the Lord would speak to your heart and you need to move from where you're at, where you're at is not a good place and you need to move, feel free to move to these altars and just make a commitment to God. But let's stand together. And Janet, if you'll lead that for us from the piano, and let's just sing it together. I am resolved no longer to linger.
Just one, He hath the words of life. what he saith, do what he willeth, he is the living way. I will hasten to him, hasten so glad and free. Jesus, greatest, highest, I will come to thee. I am resolved to enter the kingdom, leaving the paths of sin. Friends may oppose me, foes may beset me, still will I enter in. I will hasten to him, hasten so glad and free. Jesus, greatest, highest, I will come to thee.
Amen. Stay fresh, be pliable. Let God plant his seed in you and go with whatever he's got going, and it'll be a good thing. Brother Gordon, I would be so honored if you would pray a closing prayer to our service today. Thank you so very, very much.